It's Garden Talk at KSRO. And after all this dozen years of working with Gwen, I never thought to ask her, do you need a penguin?
Oh, gosh, Steve. Do you know how old that is? So you mean, I've been hearing that since I was a kid.
Do you have a penguin? Oh. It's Garden.
Thank you.
I know. Everybody's collectively groaning.
Yeah, they're all like,
Gwen and Steve. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. You can join us right now here in the greenhouse at 636-1350. Pine Bark, our fabulous producer, taking your calls now. You can chat one-on-one with Gwen. Any and all gardening inquiries encouraged during the next hour live on the air. It's really that simple to reach us. 636-1350. Run by your question, and Gwen will give you her 40-plus years of expertise in the garden, her full and undivided attention. Hi, Steve and Gwen. I heard you just talk about amaranth, and I had to send you some photos. Here are my two amaranth redheads, over 6 feet tall, and the stalks are like wood, over an inch in diameter. I planted them from seeds. My question, but so anyway, look at these beautiful amaranth, Gwen.
They're beautiful. Oh, they're big, orangey-looking flowers.
Wow. These are just beautiful.
And very nice.
She has a follow-up question on tomatillo. She said she had hundreds of small, empty green globes that did not fill in. Is this how they grow? I only had one plant. And her other question is, my jalapenos didn't get very long. They stayed about 2 inches. And how do I encourage them to grow longer? And this is Ellen, a listener from the Sierra Foothills.
Sierra Foothills. Wow. Thanks for listening, Ellen. First question, tomatillos. Yeah, if they're coming up from seeds, they need to be in full sun all day long. They need good soil. Sometimes they just don't get pollinated. The weather could have been too hot or too cold when the flower was ready to set fruit. So just like tomato plants and a lot of other vegetables, if the weather, like I said, it's usually too hot, like over 85, 90 degrees, they don't set fruit. So that could have been what happened with the tomatillos. And especially because they're pretty big, good-sized plants, you have a lot of flowers at one time. Say, compared to a tomato plant, you will have a lot of flowers that don't set the fruit. So that's my reason. Okay. That's my guess as to why you didn't have a lot of, they were just empty little bags that they have in there and they no fruit inside of them. So
do you plant tomatillos and get a good crop?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes, just like with Ellen, like this past summer, we had 100 and something degrees for a little while and a lot of my tomato varieties didn't set fruit. And I remember other callers, listeners that were calling in saying the same thing. So that does also happen with tomatillos. And beans, you could hear a lot with beans and eggplants. So that's what happened, in my opinion.
Okay.
And the jalapenos, there are so many variety types of jalapenos that could be the variety that you have. Are they short, stubby ones instead of little bit longer, but they usually don't get longer than like 2.5 inches anyway. But they are, you could see some of them are more slender, some of them are short and stubby, and that could have been the variety that you got. So, I mean, there's early jalapenos, there's a few other names of jalapenos. So if you read the direction on the label and say, okay, they usually tell you grows, 3 inches long or grows an inch long. So look for that information on the tag if it's there. If not, ask the nurseryman before you buy it. But thanks for sending the photos of the amaranth. They are beautiful looking.
They are stunning.
Very pretty.
Other good lettuces that we can plant during the fall and winter. There was a question in the PD in the column today about good lettuces to plant, what's referred to as gourmet greens. And Dana, it responded, wild arugula. Arugula is a good one mm-hmm. that you could plant. Mm-hmm. And she also mentioned corn salad mosh, which we know about. And then native miner's lettuce. Did you ever plant any of that?
That likes a lot of water.
It takes a lot of water.
Soggy spot.
Well, if you got a good soggy, moist
like,
area.
You know where I've noticed it growing a lot? On purpose, too. People have planted it next to a hose that drips. Next to the faucet that drips. Anywhere where it stays damp.
Or near your downspout, maybe. if you have a bathroom.
Well, make sure it's off wash to the side. Away. You know, yeah. Yeah.
But that would work well.
Mm-hmm.
And are any of the Asian greens out of those catalogs, would they work well during the fall and winter?
Oh, I've planted all my Asian greens. Yeah, and then you've got your mustards, Mizunas, and, you know, the big Japanese red mustard and the green mustard.
All good for fall planting?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you're talking fall. We're getting closer now to winter. So, you know, get these seeds or plants in the ground sooner than later. And if you have to cover them to keep them a little bit warm to get them to germinate or to keep the birds off of them, then you've got the frost cloth and, like I tell everybody every time, you know, the UV greenhouse plastic, and make your hoop tunnels or greenhouses or something to make that little mini greenhouse, that microclimate right there to get your greens, to keep them going through the winter. Because when they're out in the open, they'll, like I was saying earlier with the annuals, they just kind of sit there over the winter and they wait for it to warm up and then they start growing again.
Simple.
So if you want to harvest all these greens during the fall and the winter, you need to protect them.
And the final question was that a reader had attended had gone to Cornerstone, the Sunset Gardens over over in Sonoma, and had noticed a stunning ornamental that she describes to Dana, and Dana describes it as Muhlenbergia capillaris, white cloud, which was a new one to me. She said it's one of the last ornamental grasses to bloom in autumn and stunning when planted in mass. So there's a lot of those unusual plantings. If you've never been over to Cornerstone, it's well worth going. It is free. Mm-hmm. The gardens encompass about 5 acres or so plus. And we were really fortunate, Gwen, in being there the opening weekend several years ago when Sunset relocated their gardens from Menlo Park up to Sonoma. And it was glorious what they had started. And really, they had just kind of started the process, even though they opened to the public. These past few years, it's remarkable what they've accomplished as far as the demonstration gardens.
And so, things have changed, you know, added this, moved that, take out that. And, yeah, it's forever
changing.
And I talk
to people all the time that have lived here their whole lives and that are gardeners that have never been over to Cornerstone. It's well worth taking time to go over and browse, especially now when the crowds are much less in fall and winter. Certainly if you have the luxury of going during the daytime in a weekday, it's much better than weekends when parking can be problematical.
Yeah.
But check out Cornerstone. They also have some great stores there, a lot of home decorating stores. And they have a great restaurant there called Park 21. That's Bruce Reisenman's restaurant, who's a very well-known restaurateur and caterer in Sonoma County. And his restaurant's terrific, too. You could really make a day of it. The strolling, luncheoning, and a little bit of shopping. A terrific spot. And a very different part of the county if you haven't spent much time in the eastern portion of the county. More, some trying growing conditions as that Petaluma wind gap comes down Highway 121.
Like the Shellville area?
Like the Shellville area, where it can be 80 degrees in Santa Rosa, and you head out there and it's 60 degrees. It's 20 degrees cooler with that wind. And there's some trying conditions. But boy, the plants that survive there, you know that they're going to do quite well if Sunset is vouching for them. And everything's very well labeled, which is nice too. So you can get some great ideas, take photos to your heart's content. So there's a good plug for the Cornerstone Gardens.
Good job.
We'll be back. More questions, more answers. Oh, Karen did send us one more email about her lemon, and she said this is the only lemon since last week. So that's good. But she said it's the only lemon that's come up since last week.
I still think it got damaged somehow. A hole got poked in it, and then that's where bacteria and whatever gets in there, and then it just, you know, rots.
More garden talk after this.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati Roner Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. This vision is shared by our community, and we are thankful for the tremendous support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. This month, we reflect on the devastation of last October's fires. but we also reflect on the way our community came together. Heroes emerged, lives were saved, and quickly we became stronger. Let's remember to thank those who helped and supported us throughout this past year, and most especially, those who risked so much to keep us safe. Let's also remember those who lost so much, but are helping us all move forward. Stay strong, Sonoma County. Fall is here, so let's get ready for pumpkins and turkeys. Cotati Roner Park Unified School District, learning for a lifetime, committed to the future.
Warning, are you tired of waiting on your contractor's timeline? Wanting to start a room addition and don't know where to start? Looking for more livable space but can't find a contractor available to start now? Call the team at Sonoma County Sunrooms today. They have the time, material, and talent to get your job rolling. Go in today. They'll start it tomorrow.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms. We are the only authorized four-season sunroom dealer right here in Santa Rosa. And with many options to choose from, we want to help find the right sunroom to enhance your home and lifestyle. Now is the time to book your job with a 30 to 90-day finish. Come in today, find the model you love, and we'll start the process tomorrow. Once you choose the right style and size, we'll handle everything from the permitting process to the design and installation. It's that easy.
Choose the better process. Choose Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center conveniently located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodeling. Online at SoCoSun.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458, 800-481-1458, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Did you lose your keys or get locked out of your car? Economy Lock and Key in Santa Rosa can help. Need some extra keys cut or a Fort Knox safe for your valuables? Economy Lock and Key has it all. Commercial and residential door hardware, locks, and keys. With service throughout the entire North Bay, 2600 Mendocino Avenue, or online at economylock.com. Economy Lock and Key, where your security is our business.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Gwen. 3 weeks ago, I sowed kale and bok choy seeds. These seeds were from 2012. They have only grown an inch. Should I take them out, start over, or just be patient? And this is from Kim from Kenwood via email. What do you think?
2012. Bok choy and kale. It depends on where she was storing them. If she kept them in a cool, dry place or in the refrigerator or in a shed someplace where they got really hot and then, you know, they got cold again. But seeds don't mind the cold. It's when they get, you know, 90 degrees and above for a long time, that's not good for them. So, and she sowed the seeds like 3 weeks ago. So yep. The temperature was perfect. Everything was good back then. I'm thinking that those seeds are a little too old and they don't have enough vigor in them to grow like they should. They're on the verge of petering out. So after 3 weeks, yeah, both of those are fairly fast-growing seeds, so I would start all over again. Oh. Whether you go with seeds and buy some new seeds from 2018, or just at this point, if you want to sow some plants and be done with it. But I remember, you know, over the years having old seeds from when I worked at the seed bank in Petaluma, and I would sow old seeds, you know, like I said, and, you know, I would start them in six packs or whatever I was doing. And I had seeds from tomatoes from 2010 that I'm still sowing, and the the tomatoes pop up no problem. But the peppers and eggplants and onions, they're pretty short-lived. And I know after a couple of years, I don't even bother trying to sow those seeds. I just know they're not going to be good. So I'm thinking the seeds are a little too old and they don't have an energy to grow. And that's about all they did. It came up about an inch and or petering out. Unless she's not watering them at all and they're totally, you know, because of lack of water, or they're growing in full shade and they're not growing. Those are two other reasons why they might not be growing.
Okay, there's your answer, Kim from Kenwood. If you want further information or follow-up, just send us another email or call us at 636-1350. Hi, Gwen, Steve. Yesterday, I purchased a gallon of vinegar at my local grocery store. I sprayed pure vinegar on a section of weeds. I believe it was around 80 to 84 degrees. Today, I see no results, such as perhaps wilting or any change in color. Do you think this is going to work? That's thanks, Vivian. We spent quite a bit of time talking vinegar on last week's show. And if you go and you could spend an hour searching anecdotal information from all the different garden websites about vinegar. And it's about evenly split. 50% of the people say it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Other people say, I've tried it repeatedly and it doesn't work. Some people have said you've got to get the 20% concentration of vinegar. People have said that the 4 to 5% over-the-counter grocery store style vinegar will not work. Other people say, yes, it will. You just need to give it time. So first of all, we want to applaud you, Vivian, for not just spraying indiscriminately with Roundup and taking an alternative, safer approach. So we don't know exactly what weeds, what she sprayed, but I don't think usually in a day you're going to see immediate results with vinegar, the times that I've used vinegar for to get rid of weeds.
Unless she threw a sheet of clear plastic over the top and got the temperature up there
really cooking,
then they'd be having a hard time. But she said she spread on a section of weeds, so we don't know if they were big established type weeds, the perennial tough ones to kill, or the new, you know, annual bluegrass and whatnot that's coming up now that are nice and young and tender. But 80 to 84 degrees is still pretty cool as far as getting vinegar to work. It has to be like 90 or above. That's why I say if you're going to spray vinegar on your weeds now, to throw a sheet of clear plastic over it. And if you could batten down the sides so no air gets in there, those weeds are really going to suffer. And they could suffer, you know, if you spray in the morning, that by the end of the day, you'll see some wilting. So I hope that helps you. Yeah, because it's, you know, like I said, 80, 84 degrees is really not hot enough to get the vinegar to do some damage on your weeds. Maybe you'll see some damage later today because, you know, it's going to be a little bit hotter, but maybe not. But if I were you, I'd throw some clear plastic over the top.
Anybody else have experience with using vinegar for weed control, killing weeds, give us a call, 636-1350, or shoot us an email about your experiences.
I've used it on vinegar. I've used it on Bermuda grass. I think it was a couple years ago, and I did an experiment, and it was about 103 degrees out, and I sprayed an area of the Bermuda grass, and I just left it alone. I sprayed another area, and I threw a piece of my greenhouse plastic over it. And within a couple hours, you could see the damage being done to the Bermuda grass compared to where I left it open. So, but both had some damage done to them because we had that heat wave is when it was 100 and some odd degrees for a few days in a row. And the Bermuda grass that was covered with the clear plastic definitely had more drastic results happening in a shorter amount of time. By a few days later, I think it was like 5 or 7 days later, everything was brown underneath that plastic. But because it was really established Bermuda grass, the next year, well, when it started raining in the springtime, the following year it started raining, it was warming up, that Bermuda grass is like, you didn't kill me. Ha! So, you know, it takes a lot more effort to kill Bermuda grass and other tough perennials than it does the annuals that just come up and are very small.
So Paula shared her unfortunate experience with the skunk digging up her arugula in her look like raised bed. And have you had any large animal confrontations recently, Gwen?
I always have wild animal confrontations because where I live. But last night we heard some commotion with two gigantic deer-sized raccoons that were coming from underneath our house and then walking to my vegetable garden. So now I know who's been feasting on my big winter squashes. I knew it wasn't rats because the teeth marks were too big. And obviously,
wouldn't it be skunks?
No, too small. Uh-huh. And so since I saw these two giant, like I said, deer-sized raccoons, yeah, they were just chewing away only on one. Mm-hmm. Well, two. They didn't like one, so they went on to the next one. But yeah, the raccoons can cause a big problem. But for some reason, they're not digging anything up in my yard.
Oh, well, that's good.
So far, so good. Yeah, until the squashes are all gone, then they'll probably go climb up my persimmon tree. And maybe that's who snapped
the branch. The combined weight of the bunch of raccoons caused your persimmon tree limb to snap.
It'd I would be like nice to blame them. Yeah. But because there are no fruits that have been eaten, yeah, I can't blame them.
You don't think so?
But yeah, the raccoons and the foxes are coming out, but they're not eating anything in my garden.
They're not?
No, they're just waiting for me.
Oh, but they're going after your chickens, aren't
they? Yeah, they're waiting again for me to leave the chicken coop door open, which I haven't done. So, ha.
Oh, marvelous. Yeah, you know, Al has used vinegar, I guess, and would like to chime in on whether it works or not. Good morning, Al. Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk this morning. Hi.
Hi, actually it's AJ.
Oh, AJ, so, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Anyway, so I hold a QAC, which is the state certification for pesticide and spraying.
Yes.
So I've experienced used vinegar trying to experiment, what I'm trying to say. Experimenting with weeds without, you know, using Roundup because obviously I, you know, do this for a living. So my experience with the vinegar is number one, you have to get the weeds when they're small.
Yep.
If they've got more than their second leaf on them, then it's going to take longer. But if you do, you know, even if you do it at half rate, so I do like a gallon of vinegar to 2 gallons of water. So that's it's not totally accurate. But it does work. And then if you want fast action, you're going to have to do straight vinegar. If you do straight vinegar, you should get killed within 7 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. This weather is perfect for doing it. Anything above 85 is going to work.
So go ahead, AJ, but I want to interject. Have you experimented with the different concentrations of vinegar? Because that seems to me to be the most...
Right, yeah. So that's why I said I've done it with straight vinegar, which is going to work faster. Because no matter what, vinegar is corrosive.
I meant the percentage, because there's the traditional 4 to 5% over the counter supermarket grocery store.
Oh,
and then there's the type that's 20%, which you order online or get at specialty stores.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I've done the 5% vinegar. Okay. And actually there's a new cleaning vinegar that I think is like 6%, that I've recently discovered. So I've used it on different types of weeds, and I've used it on monocot and dicot weeds. You know, it works better on the dicot, which is your broadleaf weeds. But the monocots, it takes longer, but you have to keep doing it. So if you only spray once, yeah, you're not going to be real effective because, I mean, you're talking at 5%. At 20%, that would probably be fine. But, I mean, it's going to work faster, but it's going to be more expensive, and it takes a lot of vinegar. So for $3 a gallon, it's a lot cheaper to get it from the grocery store.
You know, it's interesting you should say this, because last week a gentleman emailed us and said you should try cleaning vinegar. Remember that, Gwen?
Yeah.
And we said we've never heard this term, cleaning vinegar.
It's a new one. It's new on the market. It has to be, because I just found it recently.
Where did you get it?
I got it at Walmart.
At Walmart, okay.
At Walmart.
All right.
Yeah. And so it's 6%. It's only 1% heavier, or, you know, more concentrate. But, you know, vinegar is very corrosive. So when you're trying to treat weeds that are 2 or 3 feet, it's best, number one, to cut them and then spray them. You know, leave enough leaf mass so that it can translocate. But you have to keep doing it. So if you spray 1 week and you have some big weeds, I would spray weekly, you know, for like 3 weeks. And then you have to wait 7 to 10 days, maybe 14 days for it really to take effect. But it does work. You just have to be persistent and patient.
Yeah, this person had sprayed one day and thought that the weeds should be all mm-mm. dead the next day, and we didn't think that was realistic.
No. I mean, I used it on some weedy, I don't even know what type of weed it is, but it's very dense and it germinates profusely in a pathway, than, you know, at my house here, just practicing and experimenting and different things. I was surprised that it killed it.
And AJ, I've been really successful just spraying one time. And like I was telling Vivian, who wrote in, putting a sheet of clear plastic on it. And by the end
of
the day.
Yeah, you can solarize. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when it's 90 degrees out.
Right.
It's cooking underneath that plastic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, if you have time to put out plastic and all that, good. But, you know, when you're dealing with acreage, then, it's a little hard to do. If you've got a little patch, that's fine. But even on acreage, using the vinegar, it does work. You just have to be consistent and persistent and patient.
And you really need to spray it when it's 90 degrees or above, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, the heat helps.
If you put it around 60, it'll probably still work. But then you're going to get into, like, the 2 weeks where it's going to take longer. And probably the higher concentrate you use is going to work better. So that's what I'm saying. Just straight vinegar.
And what else somebody else suggested, which they do, they add a surfactant. They add a drop or two of detergent, which they felt helped the vinegar adhere better to the plant material.
Right. Yeah, so that's why if you spray in the mornings when you have a little bit of dew on the leaves, that acts as a surfactant. Yes, using a couple of drops of dishwashing, like Dawn, that's also a sticker or a spreader. And, and then obviously you have your chemical stuff, but I've used it. I wasn't convinced. I landscape for a living, but it does work. You just have to be consistent, and that's my challenge, as you know, is I have a lot to do, and it's hard to do that, but it does work.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Great.
Thank you so much for taking the time to contribute. You're on the front lines experience.
I will just say one thing about it. It probably doesn't work really well on Morning Glory. If you did it on Morning Glory, you would have to be out there, you know, constantly, and it probably would work, but I have a real challenge with Morning Glory, so.
Gwen?
I did it on Morning Glory. I did put the clear plastic on it, and then I thought it was dead. And then as I planted my vegetable garden, it was getting watered again. It was like, sorry, and it came back again because of that
gangbusters
system.
I know. Yeah, I'm really challenged with the stuff myself. I have no easy answer on that one.
Decapitating. That's what I constantly do, and you keep on top of that, and I got it under control. I practically don't have much left, so. Okay. But you have nothing else to do but to walk around and decapitate.
The weeds will always win out. So anyway, all right.
Thank you, AJ.
Great contribution from AJ. We'll take a break, be right back, and go back to calls and emails. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO Santa Rosa.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And this year, our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show. I'm excited to be a part of Better Way Produce and Nursery. Our family would like to invite you to come see our old-fashioned, easy-to-shop nursery. We have great discounted landscape packages, including plants, hardscape, irrigation, design, and other outdoor needs for your garden. Don't miss our koi pond, small spaces demonstration gardens, complete with water features and nearly 1,000 plant species.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. United Way of the Wine Country has been dedicated to improving lives locally for over 50 years. They are deeply committed to achieving lasting solutions for the entire community in the areas of education, financial stability, and health. Through programs such as Schools of Hope, School Readiness Backpacks, Summer Reading Packs, and Earn It, Keep It, Save It, United Way is creating opportunities for a better life for all. We all win when a child succeeds in school, when all families and individuals are financially stable, and when people are healthy. It takes everyone in the community working together and living united to create a brighter future. To find out how you can give, advocate, or volunteer with United Way of the Wine Country, go online to UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call United Way at 707-528-4485.
Day and more than 30 million voters have already cast their ballots in a record-breaking year for early voting. Both bases are fired up, and Kyle Condick of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics says,
"We've been looking at sort of the possibility of a Democratic House, Republican Senate for a while now. That could still maybe get upset on Election Day, but I think that's where sort of the smart money is."
President Trump on the campaign trail for Republicans, first in Montana, then later in Florida. The Democratic candidate for governor of Florida, Andrew Gillum, is back on the campaign trail. He's the mayor of Tallahassee and returned to his city last night after a man shot six people, killing two, and pistol-whipped another inside of a hot yoga studio there before killing himself. Authorities investigating any possible connection between the attacker and the victims. And there was a vigil this morning in Pittsburgh marking 1 week since the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue that killed 11 people. Brian Clark, ABC News.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Red flag warning in effect till tomorrow morning. Today, sunny at 84, 68 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 47, 50 on the coast. Partly cloudy for Sunday at 80 degrees, 68 in Bodega Bay. Sunny for Monday at 78, 67 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Garden Talk Live at KSRO, Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen in about a half hour from now. Several great guests on the Good Food Hour today. We'll be starting off with Chef Rob Lerman from Cochon Volant Restaurant out in Sonoma, talking about the big heritage turkey feast at the Atwood Ranch in Sonoma this coming Sunday, tomorrow, and how important this is for 4-H kids raising heritage turkeys and the importance of that in our ongoing sustainability efforts in Sonoma County. Then we will chat with a young lady that is baking pies for poverty and how she got started. An amazing story located right here in Sonoma County and how you can participate and help her charitable baking contributions. Then at 11:35, the folks from the Russian Orthodox Church in Santa Rosa. This has been a tradition for probably 10, 12 years on the show. They have a big annual fundraiser and get together and food and crafts event. It's a wonderful event, and we'll have members of the church in to taste some authentic Russian foods and I believe some homemade vodkas along the way. All that coming your way on the KSRO Good Food Hour today. It is a high wind warning today, as you just heard, because temperatures, it's a red flag warning, as they say. Temperatures into the 80s once again and some high winds. I know PG&E's been really active up along Russian River, River Road area, cutting, pruning trees. Isn't that up where, yeah, where you hang out, Gwen, in that area?
Well, that's where I drive back and forth. And yeah, it looks like they're doing a lot of clear cutting away from the transmission lines. So we definitely don't want anything falling on those things. So they're doing their best to, you know, keep these trees clear from those lines.
Is it too late to plant bulbs? Do you have any bulbs hanging out in your barn and refrigerator that you haven't planted?
You always ask things that I still need to do. One of these days I'm going to say, I got everything done. I have Dutch irises, actually, that I still have to get in the ground.
We just planted tons of freesias.
Oh, I did. Last week, I did get some freesias. I thought of you, and I got those in the ground right away. And Sparaxis.
Oh, yeah.
I got those in the ground. So I still have Dutch iris. But, yeah, you can still get your bulbs in the ground and get them in sooner than later.
I like saying fritillaria. I like saying fritillaria.
Fritillaria.
Yeah, isn't that a fun one?
Sounds like frittata. Yeah. That is a really smelly flower, it is, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but the deer don't eat it.
That's good.
They are pretty.
And you get your iris in and some
Dutch irises.
Dutch iris. Lilies, maybe.
No.
No.
I think that's all I planted. I have enough daffodils coming up, and some tulips like to come up every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
But don't think about dividing your bulbs now. You know, you're, well, no, I think you still can.
On the fritillaria versus the, let's say, hyacinth, what would be a stronger smell?
Fritillaria.
More than hyacinth?
Far. Yeah.
Really?
You know, hyacinths do okay here, but back in the Midwest and the East Coast, there's no comparison. I mean, those flowers are big and they're fragrant and they're beautiful and they have no problems coming back every year. But here, they just don't like our warm weather and too much rain. And, you know, we have, you know, not the most ideal growing conditions for hyacinths.
Do you remember a while?
Grape hyacinths do
grape
really
hyacinths
well.
Do
those
well,
are really cute. Those are tiny.
And it's funny, speaking of the fritillaria, do you remember weeks ago, Savita had called and talked about that it was the fritillaria persica?
Yes.
That she was very fond of. She wanted to make sure we recommended that. I think you grow that one. Is that the one you grow? Or?
No, I don't grow any fritillarias.
Oh, okay. Well, she was saying how fond she...
Sold them at Callaway's Nursery.
You sold them. Maybe that was it. But how fond she was of that particular bulb.
Okay.
Charlotte would like a word with you. Do you have time, Gwen?
Absolutely.
All righty. Charlotte from Santa Rosa, California. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
I was wondering, is it too early to spray for peach curl?
Yes, it is.
What's the soonest I can do it?
Around the end of the month, depending on the weather. If we're still up in the 80s, then I would wait. You know, ideally, you would prune your peaches and nectarines first, and then you would spray. But if you can't get to the pruning for some reason, then you...
I'm already there. I've already done it.
You've already pruned?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Well, it's a young peach tree.
Okay.
3 years old, so I'm trying to form it, you know, so that it's not out of control, because I want to manage it, the height of it.
Okay. Well, next year, wait until after you've harvested the fruit and then do a little selective pruning. Then you don't have to do anything in the wintertime, and then it will stunt the growth and it won't send out all that new growth in the spring. Like when we do dormant pruning.
Yeah.
There's enough energy in that plant where it sends out all that new growth and you're like, wow, why did I prune? It just grew twice as big. So think about summer pruning next year.
Oh, but, I did. I summer pruned.
Okay. I would wait on the spray because it's still, you know, 84 degrees or 86 degrees today. That's a little too hot to be putting any kind of chemical sprays on your plant. So just hold off and wait. You're not in any hurry to have to get it done. And if you can't spray until December, that's fine. But the most effective time would be to spray when the buds are starting to swell early in the spring.
Okay.
Don't spray when they show any color, but just when they're starting to fatten up is when you can spray the entire plant, and that will give you the best and the most control coverage of the copper spray that you're using.
So just that one time?
No. Unfortunately, the products that are available now are not 100% or even 80% effective. So it pays to spray a few times. Just because we get a lot of rain, a lot of the product can go off, you know, wash off the plant.
Right.
So you mix it with a surfactant, like a, you know, something that will, you know, you could buy at the nursery, and you mix it with the copper, and that helps the product stay on the plant for a longer period of time.
Okay.
So, you know, a general guideline you heard of was Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
Uh-huh.
You even go, you know, Christmas, New Year's, and Valentine's Day sometimes. But that's just a reminder to get people to spray with these products that are available, you know, at least two or three times during the dormant season.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
but
thank you very much.
Okay. So no spraying now until it's cold and it's like in the 60s all the time and it's not raining for a few days, you know, at least 5 days after. Once you spray, no rain after 5 days.
Okay, I think I'll wait till next year.
Well, you could, but if you have nothing to do in December, you know, you can spray in December, then again in January, and, you know, keep your fingers crossed that it works.
I see. Right. I will. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Charlotte.
Good talking with you, Charlotte. We'll take a quick break. We could squeeze in a few more questions and calls before 11 o'clock rings. We'll take an email question when we return live. It's Garden Talk. As always, from the heart of Sonoma County in Santa Rosa, this is KSRO.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
I was asking friends, do you know anybody?
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
I needed to have a breast revision done because I had a procedure that didn't turn out quite well. So it was very important to find a doctor who would listen to what I had to say. Everybody said, Dr. Tom. I met his staff. They were absolutely wonderful. And then when I met Dr. Tom, it was great. Very warm, very caring. He listened to what I had to say. He told me what can and can't be done. I felt confident. I felt safe in his hands. And on the day of the procedure, I felt like I got 5-star treatment. Everything went perfect. The best part was the results afterwards. I knew it would be better than what I had, but it was amazing. I love my body.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hey, Sonoma County sports fans, if you want to scoop on the Oakland Raiders, San Francisco 49ers, and local high school football, tune in to Overtime with Nick Mattis and Bob Seymour. With special guest, Sonoma County's greatest athlete, 13-year NFL veteran, and a Cardinal Newman graduate, Jerry Robinson. Sunday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on KSRO. Don't miss it.
This is Jessica Belcher with PG&E. Storm season is coming, and that could cause power outages in your area. We want you to be prepared and stay safe. Sign up for outage alerts via text, email, or phone at pge.com/beprepared.
Krispy Kreme is coming to Rohnert Park. Come celebrate the grand opening on November 6th at 5090 Redwood Drive, with doors opening at 6 a.m. Be one of the first 25 to score donuts for a year.
Thank you.
I think a lot of us are experiencing what Jerry writes to us. Hi, Steve and Gwen. Guess what? My lilac bushes are covered with miniature purple blooms. Does this surprise you, Gwen, that her lilac bushes are covered with miniature blooms?
No, because our weather has been so wacky. You know, hot and cold, hot and cold. And a lot of plants just don't know when to bloom and when not to bloom. We might get people calling in sometime about their rhododendrons starting to bloom. Because these plants, you know, we have this 40 degrees, 45 degree weather at night, and then it was up in the 70s or so, and no rain for a while. And then the plants are like, oh, it must be spring. So, or maybe somebody fertilized, and then that gave them a boost of energy to say, oh, let's grow, because, again, it's spring. So there's nothing we can do about it. So just enjoy the flowers that you see now, and you'll still get some in the springtime, but probably not as many as if they didn't bloom at all this time of the year.
Speaking of fritillaria, here's Savita. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Savita.
Good morning, folks. Well, I remember a few weeks back I was talking, you know, with great enthusiasm that there are a number of really wonderful bulbs that are either gopher-proof, deer-proof, or at least gopher-resistant.
Yes. And you were going to send us a list.
She didn't send us the list.
Yeah, I tried my darndest to send it, and I'm just hoping you all got it.
No, we did not.
Oh,
God. Who do I go to say, you received it, you gave me the email and stuff? Who do I talk with?
Well, just leave me a voicemail. I have voicemail for everybody. The email is steve@ksro.com, and you can... You should be able to reach me anytime via email also. Even just send me two emails. Send me the list and then follow up. Say, hey, I sent you this whole list, Steve. Did you get it? And I'll reply.
Thank you for that advice. I would rather be outside than working on the computer, but this time I'll work on the computer.
No, wait until nighttime when you can't see anything outside.
Yeah, that's a good practice, that's too.
There you go.
I'll get it to you because I revised the list, and I think it could really be very useful for gardeners.
Okay.
That'd be great.
We'll look forward to getting it.
How are your fritillarias doing?
Well, I haven't gotten them in the ground yet.
Oh, you better get on it.
Okay, Gwen.
Thanks, Savita.
Thank you.
Plant your fritillarias now and then send Steve his email in the middle of the night. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's very passionate about bulbs, and we'll look forward to getting that revised bulb list, especially with the deer and gopher-resistant varieties.
Yeah,
and we will post that on our KSRO website.
Yeah.
How about that?
Thank you. Yeah.
Good deal. We'll be back right after this.